We're doing a workshop for this series of time called Praying the Word. And so hopefully, so my goal tonight is to walk through one of the, what I call the Pauline prayers. And that means it's a prayer that Paul spoke and prayed over particular churches whenever he went to visit or when he was writing letters. And then get us to a place where we're actually going to pray those prayers over each other. So we're going to believe God that he's going to move on our behalf and help us to do that tonight. And I ask that you pray for me to have utterance from heaven. Because I don't want to be up here and it sound like a good talk. You know, I want it to be where God begins to impart some things to you. By the way, I love that hat. For those that don't know, I'm a diehard Cowboy fan. That's just, you know, you see. You know, that's my heart, that God will deposit some things in us and stir us up in a way that when you leave here, you'll have more of a hunger to go to God with these prayers and speak them over yourself and over people so that they can experience all that God's called us to experience. The one thing that I've learned about prayer is that it's not about ourselves a lot of times. When we pray prayers, we pray them for others to receive from the Lord. Okay? So tonight we're going to talk about the Ephesians prayer in Ephesians chapter 1. And we're going to talk about the Colossians prayer that's in chapter 1 of Colossians. So Ephesians and Colossians. There's another one that's in chapter 3 of Ephesians, but we're going to look at doing that one next week. As I was doing my reading and studying, I see that Ephesians 1 and Colossians 1, they really overlap. And so I want to show you where those are overlapping, and then we're going to talk a little bit about what those passages of Scripture are saying and those prayers are saying and what the blessing is for us and for those we pray them over, and then we're going to hopefully practice. Also, when you came in, you received a handout from that first class when Pastor Pascal did a phenomenal job of talking about how we need to honor God in our prayer and recognize who he is. And someone who was sitting in the workshop, who I knew, they emailed me that paper and said, hey, these are names that you can begin to call God. And so I wanted to make sure that we got a copy of that to you so that you can continue that running list of words, A through Z, that you can speak out about who God is and that they'll become real to you and become part of the DNA of how you know God. Okay? So that's one resource you got. So now you can't say you don't know any words. All right, so if you start worshiping God, we're going to say, okay, well, give me some of those A words, those B words, those C words. You'll have something that you can pull out and begin to speak those. And it's okay if you have the sheet and read them out. The anointing's on them. The anointing's on them. Hey, let's open our hearts up in prayer. Father God, I thank you and bless you and give you glory and praise. We honor you tonight. Holy Spirit, we make ourselves available to what you want to say. Reveal what the Father and Son is saying to us right now. I thank you that deep is calling unto deep. And as we look at these prayers, Father God, I pray that you would open up our hearts and our minds to receive all that you have for us. May you be glorified in everything that we do and say tonight. In the name of Jesus, amen. All right. Okay, well, let's go right to Ephesians chapter 1. And we're going to jump right up to verse 15. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 15. And in that first verse, it says, "Therefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints." Just pause right there. Here's Paul talking about some things. If you go back a few verses, he's talking about just the essence of what Jesus did for us and God, and how God ministered to us and brought us into the kingdom and gave us the blessing and benefits of the blood of Christ and redemption and all of these blessings and benefits that are attributed to us through what Christ had done. And then here he says, right here he says, "Therefore I also, in light of those things," that's when you, whenever you see "therefore," you always go back a little bit and capture what it is that is being said, because it's always in light of what was just spoken. He says, "Therefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus." There's something about when you've given your life to Jesus that should be evident. I should be able to see that and know that. And because you've confessed Christ as your Lord and Savior, there is a way in which I approach you now in relationship to God and myself. He's saying, because of these things, he said, "When I heard of your faith." So the one element is faith. He's looking at our faith. When someone begins to pray for you, Jesus always said, when healing came, he said, "Let it be according to your faith." It's according to your faith that you're healed. It's according to your faith that this happened. Yep, Jesus was present. He says, according to your faith. And so here, Paul is saying the same thing. He said, "When I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints." Faith and love go hand in hand. Anytime you're getting to a place of wanting to pray for someone, you're saying, faith, do they have faith and do they love people? Do they have faith and do they love people? Because that's what's going to move you to want them to have the things coming up in the next few verses. Faith and love. And the Bible says faith worketh by love. So your faith is activated by the love that you carry. And so as you move forward in this passage of scripture, Paul says, hey, because of your faith and your love for all the saints. Notice it's not some saints. It's everybody who's born again. You got to have love for everybody that's born again. It says love for all the saints. Not the ones you just choose. Not the ones you see on Sunday. Not the ones you're in the prayer group with. But all the saints. You're opening up your heart because there are parts of what God wants to speak to you you won't capture if your heart's not open to everyone that's given their heart to Jesus. You'll short circuit how to connect with God because your love towards someone has been cut off. Or you've closed it off. You've closed off the tap of love. And so therefore, your faith is not at work. Your faith doesn't have the dynamic, the fuel, to produce what God wants to produce in your life. And so it says, verse 16, I do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. So we're going to see that this prayer right here is something that didn't just happen one time. Certain prayers don't happen one time. This is a prayer that Paul continuously prayed for the church at Ephesus. He prayed it constantly. He didn't cease. He didn't stop praying for the people of Ephesus. And he said, I'm making mention of you in my prayers. So he was intentional. You don't cease, and it's intentional. Prayer is intentional. I intentionally want to bless you. Therefore, Brent, I pray for you. Because I intentionally want to see the blessing of God come in your life. There's an intentionality that you must stir up in your heart when you pray for someone because you want what you're about to go to God about to happen in that person's life. So if you don't want healing for someone, then don't pray it. Because that's the depth of this prayer here, is that Paul is being intentional, consistent and intentional about praying this prayer for the people in Ephesus. And so he says that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Says the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the creator of heaven and earth. Paul's going to the top and working down. He's saying, look, I'm going to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of our Savior, and I'm bringing this to you. He said, the Father of glory. The originator of glory. When you pray this prayer, you want glory in the lives of people. You want the glory of God to manifest. You want the glory of God. The originator of glory shows up when you begin to pray this prayer for people. He says that he may give to you the spirit of wisdom. In the book of Proverbs, it says that wisdom is the principal thing. So here Paul is connecting with that, and he's saying, I'm praying that you get the spirit of wisdom. And the beginning of wisdom is the fear of God. Not where you're super scared of him, but you have a reverential awe of who he is, which I believe takes you into our first session together where you begin to take the words on that paper and you go to God and say, God, you're awesome, you're mighty, you're great, you're excellent, you're Jehovah. Your healer, your deliverer, your sustainer. You're the repairer of the breach. Your restorer of streets to dwell in. You're my refuge. You're my fortress. You're high tower, strong tower. You begin to say those words. That's what Paul's saying. He said, I want you to have the spirit of wisdom. I want you to begin to capture some wisdom. Not just getting wisdom in terms of, hey, I want to know something that's coming in the future. It's not that type of wisdom that's happening here, though that does come with it. Really, this is wisdom about knowing God. Because the Bible says that those that know their God shall do exploits. How many in here want to do exploits? Great things for God. Come on, every hand, hopefully every hand will go up. I want to do great things for God. And he says, but you got to know him. Not just knowing his names, but knowing him in the name. Whew. Knowing him in the name of healer. Knowing him in the name of sustainer. That when you say that word, it becomes alive to you. The Bible says that the word of God is living and powerful. The word is alive. It says that in John chapter 1, that the word became flesh and dwelt among us. Not just in the natural, not just in the physical, but in the spiritual. Let the word get flesh. Let it walk with you. So when you're walking and you begin to declare the word, it's like the word is walking with you. It's like you're saying, healing, healer and healing, you walking with me. I'm the healed of the Lord. By his stripes I am healed. I send the word and I heal all my diseases. There's a present reality that happens out of the wisdom, the knowing of God, the reverential fear of the Lord here. And then he says, and revelation in the knowledge of him. So that kind of seals the deal on what I was just saying. He says that I want to give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation, but it's in the knowledge of him. So it's about knowing God. This prayer is about causing people to know God, your heart for people to know God, to have knowledge about who he is, his mighty acts, his works, what he does, how he functions, how he behaves. God, I'm praying that you get the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. And when that knowledge comes, what happens? He says that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. That how you see gets enlightened. There's an illumination once you begin to know God because you begin to see things from his perspective. So it's almost like you don't even begin to really see until you begin to know him. And when you begin to know him, who is light, he begins to illuminate your understanding of who he is. He says, wisdom is the principal thing, but in all of your getting, get what? Get what? Understanding. That's what's happening right here. The eyes of your understanding, the eyes of your heart, the very essence of who you are. It says the eyes of your heart being enlightened that you may know. Here's the second time knowledge or knowing is showing up. As I'm standing up here, that's my heart. I'm praying in the spirit right now on the inside, communing with the Lord, saying, Lord, help them know. Not necessarily capture everything I'm saying, Well, let them begin to know how you talk to them. Let them begin to know how you communicate with them. Because if you'll know God for yourself, then the voice of the stranger, you will not follow. Praise the Lord. This is what's going to help you follow God. This will help you in so many areas. This will help you with prophecies. This will help you. You know, everyone's running out, I need a prophetic word. If you know God, when someone speaks something to you, you can immediately discern, is that from God? If someone's trying to teach something from the Word of God, we don't always get it all the way right. You've got to know God for yourself. And you've got to know how truth sounds. How truth sounds. So that you may know what is the hope of his calling. What are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints? Go back to verse 14 real quick. Let's look at verse 14. Well, actually, 13. It says, in him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Verse 14. Who is it? The Holy Spirit. It says, who is the guarantee of our what? Inheritance. So we go back down to verse 18, and it says, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints? The Holy Spirit is part of that inheritance. And there's a richness of the glory of God in the inheritance of the saints. Those who have given their lives to Jesus. Those who desire to walk with him. Those who desire to know him. I want you to capture this, the power of this prayer, that it's not just something we're just praying haphazardly. Paul's just not saying this just to say, hey, I got this nice prayer, I want to pray for you. He's like, no, people, I want you to know God so intimately for yourself. I need you to know God. I need you to capture the inheritance that's in you. Before Jesus ascended and he sent the Holy Spirit to us, you need to capture that he's part of the inheritance. He's sealing that on the inside of you. He seals you into the kingdom. That means that you can't be let go. God won't let you go in the midst of this. But he's saying that I want you to know the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Verse 19, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe? Now he's going to talk about the power of the inheritance. This is the power that you carry on the inside of you. If you're born again, this is the power that you carry. It says, the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power. He talks about the exceeding greatness of his power. Then he says the working of his mighty power. So his dunamis, his explosiveness, the power that he used to create the heavens and the earth, the power that he used to shake the very foundations of hell itself for Jesus to be resurrected from the dead. He said he worked this in Christ. So if he worked that power in Christ, guess what? He can work that power in you. He can work that power in you. He can raise you from the dead. Not just physically. I'm not talking about the physical. Yes, he can resurrect you that way. But he can raise you from being dead to sin and alive unto him in Christ. That's the essence of our salvation. And so Paul is really driving this home. And if you know, the little I know about the church of Ephesus, oh man, they were some interesting people. They weren't living the best. They weren't living the greatest. I know I probably fit into some of those categories of how things were then. I don't know about y'all, but you know, I'm just telling myself. I'm sure that there were some things that I've walked in, and I needed God to raise me up from them. And I believe that I've had victories in my life because someone was praying something along these lines for me. I'm reminded of a story my mom used to tell me. She's like, Harry, your grandmother, they used to call you the professor. They called you preacher. And I was like, preacher? I was like, who calling me preacher? Little boy, you know. She says, little, I don't know anything about that. But she began to tell me that story, that my grandmother used to speak that over me and declare that over me. Unbeknownst to me, something was being worked in me. Your prayers for someone else has the capacity and the power and the strength to work things in the lives of people that are for their good. Never discount your prayer life. Thus, that's why we have this workshop, praying the word. If we can't get results praying the word, then we're in trouble. But I believe that God is stirring that up in us so that we'll be effective. That the effective, fervent prayers of a righteous person is making much power available. That we are going to see great results in our prayer lives like we've never done before. Because God's going to fine-tune how we bring things to him. He wants to show us how to do it. And Paul is trying to is telling the church at Ephesus, he's saying, hey, look, you need to know that the mighty power that's in God, he worked that in Christ when he raised him from the dead and then seated him. I love how God raised him and then put him in position. Did y'all get that? He raised him, then put him in position. Oh. I can now rest. I can relax. I'm seated. I'm positioned where I need to be positioned. You've got that same access. God is positioning you. When you let that power, that mighty power, raise you up, he not only raises you up, but then he seats you in the place where he's called you to sit. And when he does that, he said he seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above. That means that there is nothing that is above where Christ is seated. And if you are in Christ, there is nothing that's above you in terms of what you're engaged in. Anything that's trying to hinder you, anything that's trying to come against you, any challenges you're having, it is not above you. Because the Bible says that we're seated together with him. And so if he's seated far above, then guess what? By faith, we seated far above. How many believe that? I mean, you got to capture that. We have to begin to believe what the word is saying, not based on our circumstance, but based on the reality and the truth of the scripture. He says that he's seated far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named. Say, we far above everything. Oh, man, y'all didn't say that too confidently. Say, we far above everything. You are. You've got to begin to see yourself from a place, from a victorious place. When you begin to engage in prayer, you engage your prayer from a victorious place, from a place of winning, from a place of triumph. Even when it's tough. And if you can't do it yourself, you call up that friend and you say, hey, sister, brother, come on. Help me get back into the victorious place. Because we have been put there in the spirit. Yet we live in the earth. And that's the struggle. But I want to say your higher place is seated in heavenly places in Christ. We can access this. Every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. And then lastly, it shows you right here, it says, and he put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body. The church is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. So we are the fullness of him. We are the fullness of him who fills all in all. So you're not lower than. You're far above than. Bring that to your prayer life. That you're far above than anything, any principality, power, might, dominion, and every name that's named. You've got access. You've got access. I want you to turn to the person next to you and say, you're part of something huge. You are. You're part of something huge. This is what God does. God doesn't do things small. The only thing he does small is give you seed. But the seed is for something big to grow. God is always about making something bigger, grander, because that's the God he is. You know how you know what they say about Texas? They say Texas does everything big. That in a microcosm, that tells you, depicts who God is. God does everything big, but he does it with something small. He gives you an apple seed and then produces a large apple tree. And what's interesting about what he allows you to produce is you have the opportunity to produce something that always bears fruit. What you plant and what you water and what you tend and keep can always produce if you keep tending and keeping it. If you keep watering it with the word. If you keep plucking up the weeds, if you keep looking at your attitudes and your behaviors and you continue to change and adjust those things and walk through what God calls you to walk through, what you produce can always keep producing. God is a God of continual productivity. He wants you to keep producing. And if it's not producing, he does this one thing. He'll come and say, okay, prune that, cut that, clip that. And then while you clip it, it might look ugly a little bit, look bad. But he knows that when you clip that stuff that's messed up on there, he said, he knows it's going to produce more fruit. So God is not trying to subtract from you if he tells you to prune something. He's trying to get it to multiply faster and produce more. My heart is that your prayer life is going to go, pew. It's going to take off. And not for the sake of getting something from God. No, no, no. I think that's the lowest level of prayer you can have. Not that that's not good. I'm not saying that that's not good. Yeah, we have to pray for stuff for ourselves. But I believe that one of the greatest elements of prayer is that we get to behave like God. And we get to speak things that are not as though they are. Selah. Let's flip over to Colossians 1. And let's start in verse 3 once you get there. Let me make sure everyone's there. If you're flipping the pages, I love the sound of pages flipping too if you got a Bible. Nothing against those who got digital, because that's what I usually have too. In chapter 1 of Colossians, in verse 3, he starts talking the same way he did in Ephesians chapter 1. He says, we give thanks to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. Since we heard of your what? There it goes again. Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and what's the other element? Your love. There's a pattern here. There's a theme here that Paul is establishing. He said those elements got to be there. He said when I hear that about you, my heart gets stirred up to pray for you. I'm stirred up to pray for you all that are here. Why? Because I can sense the faith that's here. I perceive the faith that you carry and that you brought in to this sanctuary. Faith arises when you show up. Because you're the carrier. You're the carrier of faith. It's not because the room looks nice. You're the body. You carry the life. You're the lifeblood of what takes place in the earth. You are the fullness of Him who fills all and all. And of your love for all the saints, verse 4. Then verse 5, it says, because of the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, of which you heard before in the word of truth of the gospel, which has come to you as it also in all the world, and is bringing forth fruit, as it is also among you since the day you heard and knew the grace of God in truth. We'll stop right there in that one. And then we'll jump to verse 9. It's all good. I'm telling you, I love these chapters. I love these books. I love Ephesians, Colossians, Galatians, all those are great books. You want to get in there, read them. Let them become part of who you are. God's got a lot of nuggets in there to help us walk in victory. So verse 9, here it is. Paul saying again, for this reason, we also. Now he's got his brother Timothy with him. It's not just Paul by himself. It's Timothy now. He partnering up. He bringing some more juice to the prayer. He's letting you know that this prayer is quote unquote contagious. It gets on other people. This desire gets on other people. He says, for this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Again, there's knowledge. God wants you to know Him. He wants you to know about Him. He says, I want you to know the knowledge of His will. Not the knowledge of your own will. Not the knowledge of the pastor's will. Not the knowledge of your father's will, your mother's will, the knowledge of His will. The knowledge of His will. And what's interesting about prayer is that sometimes prayer hits you at a time when you're being productive in life. The truth and reality of what God's will comes. And it's like a head-on collision with what you perceive you're supposed to be doing. I believe that's why it's very tough for us to capture His will and know His will. Because if you're being productive and you're increasing, and then God comes and says, bam! This is my will for you. And you got to let go of what you've been doing. Whew. That's a tough road. I was enjoying myself in the Syracuse City School District. 13 years enjoying it. Loved the kids, teaching, was a bus monitor. I think I probably had almost every position in the district, except for custodian. It was never a custodian. I was a bus monitor, teacher's aide, full-fledged teacher. I was a dean of students. Anyone who worked in the school district know that dean of students, that's a special position. You in the high schools and middle schools and you chasing them kids down and they running around hiding in little corners and crevices and then darting out the school. But you know what? I had such a passion for that. I loved those young minds. I loved those young people. Because I felt that I was in God's calling. I felt like I was like, yeah, man, I'll teach these kids. Yeah, I'm just going to go and do this. And then right before I took the dean of student position, I began to get some discomfort about being in the district. I'm like, man, God, you called me to be this teacher a long time ago, even before I got married, and I feel good. I'm like, I got calls from some people who are on staff here. And they were like, oh, Harry, we've been talking about you. And I'm like, you've been talking about me. And they began to say, hey, well, we want you to consider this. I was like, man, I don't think that's going to work. For a variety of reasons, which I won't disclose right now. But I knew, I was like, that's not going to work. I felt that I was in my zone. I felt that I was going to just keep exchanging vehicles, so to speak, because I was driving real good with teaching and working and serving. Then all of a sudden, God just said, bam! No, son. This is what I've called you to do. And I remember calling back saying, okay, I'll come talk to the lead person. And as soon as I sat down in the meeting, the Lord was like, you're going to say yes. And I was like, dang, man. I got to say yes. You know, because listen, you don't know. You don't know. But the knowledge of his will was knocking on that door. It was hitting me in the square in the face. This was by faith. I said yes. You know, there were certain freedoms that I had still that I was like, yeah, all right, I'm good. I can move left and right. I could do this. And God said, nope, this is what I told you to do. You're going to come do this. And I submitted to it. Now, I will say that there were some times where the submission was tough in terms of, because I was already coming in as a minister at the previous place I was at, fellowshipping. And I fell into the trap of trying to promote what I had before I came here. I know nobody in here know about that, but that was what it was. And so God's will was saying, hey, you're going to do this. This is how I want to do it. You're going to go this way. And in my previous thought pattern was, but I got to tell everybody that I'm a minister. I got to tell everybody I'm a reverend. I got to speak that. I got to get that out there so that they know clear. I ain't coming here just to sit on the bench. No. You know, I'm just telling you where I was at. It's okay. We can talk. We family, right? I can just hear what you're talking. And again, the will is knocking. The knowledge of his will. And he slowly peeled back that layer. And I remember clearly, I was walking through the foyer out there, and he said, "Son, don't you ever write reverend or minister on another piece of paper at this church." And I stepped back and didn't do it. And when I did that, remember when I said he prunes stuff so that things can accelerate? The acceleration went just like that. And God began to do things, and all of a sudden I'm involved with this, I'm being asked to do this. It's all about the knowledge of his will. When you want to know it, God will bring it to you. And you can resist it all you want, but you will live a life of frustration. Your prayer life will be frustrated. You'll be in there praying, and God will be like, "Daughter, I'm calling you to do this. Come on now. Come on now. Come on, brother. I want to take you here, son." And you like, "No, I don't know if that's me. I like where I'm at. I like the comfort." And God's will always knocks you out of your comfort zone, because he wants you to be comfortable with him. And I always had a picture of when God says the Holy Spirit is leading and guiding you. And in one of the pictures that he showed me, he said, "Son, you are fully following when you are in the midst of my glory, and all you're doing is listening to my voice." He said it was almost like a picture like this. Like you got your hand on someone's shoulder, and he's saying, "Son, go this way, go that way. I want to teach you this, I want to teach you that." Because in the brightness of God's glory, you can't see. I stayed over here. In the brightness of God's glory, you can't see. You can't see on your own. So you've got to have faith to walk in the midst of what God wants to take you into. And so these are the things that when Paul is praying these prayers, he's praying that they would experience God this way. That they would walk and be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. I love how God always keeps things balanced. He don't just say, "You're just going to walk in anything." He says, "I'm going to bring spiritual understanding and wisdom to the people." So it helps you stay rooted and grounded. And notice, look, he says, "That you may walk worthy." I forgot it was going to talk about walking. Well, here it is. "That you're going to walk worthy of the calling of the Lord, fully pleasing him." So all of this brings you into knowing him. That's what I love about these prayers, is he's always trying to take us to know him. To know him, to be intimately acquainted with him. When you want to know someone, what are some of the things you have to do when you want to know someone? Oh, it's okay. You can yell out. You got to spend time with them. You got to talk to them. You're going to ask questions of them. You're going to listen to them. You know what? Another one. You're going to be vulnerable with them. Did I just cuss? No. God wants us to be vulnerable with him. He was as vulnerable as he could be with us when Jesus came on the scene and he was beaten flesh ripped from himself. Unrecognizable. Stretched out on a cross. And still had the capacity to say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And then in ultimate triumph, I call this a triumphant moment. He says, it is finished. And then he gave up the ghost. That was a moment of sheer triumph. I know they probably were looking at it like, oh my goodness, no, Jesus is gone. Because if he doesn't die, he doesn't get resurrected. Meaning that he's not the firstborn of the dead. Meaning that we're not grafted in. In that moment came our victory. So when you're praying, you pray from a place of victory. There is never a moment where your prayer shouldn't be victorious. They should have a sound of victory in them every time. Even in the midst of your tears, there's a victory, there's a hope. There's optimism in your prayer. That you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. There's knowledge again, knowing God. Being strengthened with all might according to his glorious power for all patience and long-suffering with joy. Giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance in the light, of saints in the light. And there's so much more we can really take it, but I'm going to stop right there. I fully and totally believe with all of my heart that if you'll take these verses of Scripture and you'll begin to declare them out of your mouth on behalf of others and for yourself, I believe that you're going to see a manifestation of these things like never before. People are going to start knowing God more intimately than they've ever known God before. All through those two prayers, knowledge, knowing, knowledge, knowing, knowledge, knowing. God wants us to know so that we're not ignorant of who he is and how he operates. And his characteristics and his attributes. How do you behave? I want you to think about how you behave when you really know something. You know, I know an individual in here, they know finances very well. There's an aura about you when you know something. You like just walk in the room, you don't have to say nothing. And then say one thing, and they're like, that person knows. That person knows what they're talking about. That person knows who they are. Or that person knows who they're representing. There's something about knowing. I want you to know And if you haven't been knowing, that's okay. If you haven't deepened your knowledge in who God is, that's okay. There is no condemnation. However, I'm praying that there be a holy conviction that comes on you so strong that you say, man, I got to know God more than what I know. Because there's much more that's in you. There's so much more in you. I dare say this, that in this room, we have enough capacity to turn the world upside down. We have the capacity right now to turn the world upside down. If we would begin to know God, because then we'll know, have the knowledge of his will. And if we have the knowledge of his will, and we know that he wants to accomplish his will, then we know that we'll have the resources for accomplishing that, and we'll be empowered to accomplish it. I'm telling you now, I want to see you take it to the next level. I want to see you take the risk with God. I want to see you be diligent about taking these prayers and praying them over someone and praying them over yourself. If it's someone that's here right now, that you're going to be accountable to praying for them, whoever it is, I want you to take the next 2 weeks, because we're going to talk about Ephesians 3 next week, and I want you to begin to pray those things like your life depended on it. I want you to get in there, and I want you to be like, Father, I ask that you fill this person, say their name, with the knowledge of your will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that they will walk worthy of the Lord, that they will be fully pleasing to you, that they're being fruitful in every good work, and that they are increasing in the knowledge of God. Father God, that they're being strengthened with all might, according to your glorious power, for all patience and long suffering with joy. Just pray those words. Get the momentum of those words. How powerful would a person be if they could capture this? That they would be filled. That they're filled. They're filled. Filled with the knowledge. Oh, what type of things could we accomplish for the Lord if we were filled with the knowledge of his will? If we were filled with the knowledge of him. I love that. He wants us to be filled with who he is, and he wants us to be filled with what he does. I would dance for y'all, but I'm not gonna dance for y'all. Because I'm so excited about that. He wants us to be filled with who he is, with knowing who he is, and then filled with knowing what he wants done. Be filled with the knowledge of him, and then be filled with the knowledge of his will. And he says, and then when that happens, we'll be fully pleasing to him, because we'll be prospering and we'll be bearing fruit in every good work. And what's awesome is that as we do the good works, we continue to increase in the knowledge of who he is. Did y'all catch that? Did y'all see that in the scripture? That he's telling us to be filled with all the fullness of who he is. Then he'll cause us to do good works that'll be fruitful. And then in the fruitfulness of those good works, we'll be increasing in knowing who he is. So he begins to develop the cycle. He says, son, daughter, if you come to know me, the knowledge of who I am, and then you'll come to know the knowing and knowledge of my will, you will be fruitful in all the good works that I call you to do. Those good works are specific things that he calls us to do. They are specific things that each one of us. Yep, I'm pointing at you and 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 you, 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 you. If I had enough fingers, I'd come and put my fingers on your chest and say, I'm pointing at you, that God has called you to good works. And it happens in the life of prayer, that as people begin to pray for you and declare the word of the Lord over you, and you begin to know God for yourself, not from the person who stands on that pulpit, not even from me standing up here doing this workshop, but you begin to get hungry and thirsty after who God is for yourself, he will begin to fill you with what he wants accomplished. And that's when the knowing of his will overtakes your life. Because you'll want to submit to what God is doing. Because what he's doing is going to be far greater than what you think you got your hands to right now. So what I'd like for you to do in our remaining time together is I would like for you to pair up with someone. And I'd like you to open up to Ephesians 1 and then put a little marker in Colossians 1. So if you would do that now, that would be awesome. Just pair up with someone. Come on now, don't be afraid. Remember, the scripture goes with our faith and our love. Faith and our love. So just find somebody. Come on, everybody get a partner. Come on now, come on now. See, now I really didn't hit y'all up with my teacher stuff. I would have told y'all if you came with somebody not to do it with them. See, now I could have really did that, but just find someone. Come on, just get a partner. All right. Nah, Melvin needs somebody for himself. Good, find somebody. Here you go. See, she needs somebody. Here you go. There you go. Speak the word to her. Come on. Everybody got somebody? You gonna get somebody, my man? Here we go. Thanks, James. Oh, y'all trying to cheat in the back. No, I'm messing with y'all. Okay, what I want you to do is I want you to get to Ephesians chapter 1. Let me flip back over there too. And starting in verse 15 and going down to verse 21. I want you to first ask the person what their name is, introduce yourself so that you all know each other, you're acquainted with each other, and then I want you all to take turns praying that passage of scripture over them, inserting their name in there, saying it out loud to them. So you're saying, Father, as the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, I pray that you would give to Melvin the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of who you are. That's how I want you to do it. And you go all the way down to verse 21. Don't use Melvin's name, but use the person's name that you're praying for. I know Melvin wouldn't mind. He'd take it. But okay? So you're going to pray for the person that you're with. Okay, you go ahead. I want you to be a blessing to them. And when you're done, then the other person switches. Yep, up to 21, yes, through 21. And be sincere. Carry the love of God in what you're saying to that person. I know you all are into it. No, you stay there. Just keep praying. You'll do the same thing for Colossians. Verses 9 through 11. Thank him that those things are happening in your life. Thank him. Hallelujah.